It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
That was a fun-filled hour number one, Minnesota Vikings-themed hour one behind us. Dustin Baker is always in for his signature first hour on a Thursday. You can view back, listen back to the podcast link now available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com, wherever you get your podcast, and on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Let's dive right back into the action here. Headlines and highlights. Sioux Falls Canaries talk with General Manager Dual Higby in about 20 minutes. And at the end of the show, NBA, NHL, NFL, talk of the town, and of course the good, the bad, the ugly to follow that. We got big, and I mean big, college softball news that resonates through the 605 and out to the state of Minnesota to dive into in just a moment in our headlines of the day. Stay tuned. A story you might not believe just hit the press moments ago. GopherSports.com. We'll dive into that here in a moment. Western Conference Finals Game 2 last night. OKC, an impressive win, 122-113. They weathered the storm. San Antonio got close. They even tied it in the third quarter, but OKC got the better of them to knot the series at one game apiece. How did it all go down? Here's Brian Windhorst.
Number one, major move. Mark Dagenault, the Thunder coach, goes to Isaiah Hartenstein as primary defender. Yeah. Hartenstein defends him on 47 plays last night. Wembanyama goes from 21 shots in the paint in game one down to less than 10 in game two. Their interior scoring completely changes. Number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has not been himself for the last couple of games. He was averaging less than 30 points. This guy's averaged 30 points for four straight seasons. Back to 30 points last night. He's able to find his way through the double teams. They're double teaming him incessantly. 53 double teams in two games. But number three, and I hate to do this, it's the injuries. The injuries are now going to be defining the series going forward. Yes, the Spurs cannot withstand these injuries to their guards. 27 points allowed off turnovers last night. We could play Stephon Castle highlights for the next 5 minutes, but he has 20 turnovers in the two games because the Thunder come at you like thieves. They're slapping at you, slapping at you. They had four guards come off the bench yesterday. Off the bench, they generated 11 steals. It's a terrible cocktail to be down guards and facing the Thunder at the same time.
122-113, the final. That series tied a game apiece. Wemby was pretty darn good last night. 21 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists. The team turned it over 21 times, and Dylan Harper dinged up, joining De'Aaron Fox as notable injuries for the Spurs moving forward. Who do you like the rest of the way, Stephen A. Smith?
It's really tough to call because I walked into this series believing that J-Dub had to be available for Oklahoma City in order for them to win this series. But Harper, look at the way he played in game one, 24-11-7, if I remember correctly. And then to be the kind of player that he is, again, you see the other guys coming off the bench and producing for San Antonio, and you know they've got some bodies. But does that compare to Wallace and McCain and Mitchell and these guys coming off the bench for Oklahoma City in the absence of Jalen Williams? I think that gives Oklahoma City a slight edge in this series against San Antonio. I think Harper's a bigger loss, and that would facilitate Oklahoma City being able to steal one of these games, games three or four.
And again, that series tied one apiece, a 1-0 advantage for the New York Knicks. Game two in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Cavs and the Knicks collide, 7 o'clock on ESPN. New York is a 6.5 point favorite. An upset of sorts last night in the Western Conference Finals out in Denver. The Colorado Avalanche fall to Vegas 4-2. Here's Kevin Weeks on how the Avs can respond in game two.
Don't chase the game. They got to score first, maybe score second, and start playing to their speed. But Colorado's going to have to make an adjustment here because Vegas is forcing them to play different. Colorado likes to play that off-the-rush game, that attack game. So in football term, they love to pass the ball. They love throwing the ball. But they got to kind of slow it down and get more to the run game, basically. They got to go to cycle game in hockey terms. And if Colorado does that, they have the personnel to do it, but are they willing to do it? That's the thing. That's what I'm curious to see in game two.
That's Kevin Weeks of ESPN and the NHL. Weeks are talking about the Colorado Avalanche who fell last night. There was an empty net goal late, but Vegas wins it 4-2. Tonight in the NHL, it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Montreal in Raleigh to battle the Hurricanes. 7 o'clock on TNT. Carolina, a sizable favorite, minus 200. On the puck line, a reminder, the Clark Cup Finals continue tomorrow night, a 6:10 start time from Muskegon, Michigan. That's the home of the Lumberjacks as the Stampede looking to close out the Clark Cup Finals. They lead it 2-0 in the best of five series, one win away. The Minnesota Twins have stacked quite a few wins lately, 23-27 the record yesterday after a series win over the Astros 4-1. Joe Ryan, pretty darn steady Eddie, 3-3 the new record, 3.02 the ERA with the latest win. Here is manager Derek Shelton on the growth of the bullpen lately for Minnesota.
I think we're getting to a fact that we're starting to develop a little bit of identity. I think our bullpen has been such a mix and match, but the more we can put the ball on the plate, you know, we have some guys down there now that have some velo and stuff that's made it, you know, more manageable and functionable.
More from Shelty here on Victor Caratini and what his role is going to end up being with the Ryan Jeffers injury.
Yeah, he's just going to play more. He's going to catch more. I mean, he played a lot of first base early just because of the function of our roster and the fact that he can switch hit and he's good over at first. I think we'll see him start to catch, you know, 3 of 5, 4 of 6, you know, 4 of 7, but he's going to get more reps behind the plate. And I think this is one of the really good things that Jeremy did this offseason was we went out and got a veteran catcher that has caught, that pitchers like throwing to, in case you have a situation. And then we also backfill with Alex Jackson, who's played in the big leagues and can catch and throw. So I think we're in a good spot there right now until we get Ryan back.
Twins manager Derek Shelton, Minnesota with the win yesterday, 23-27. They're off today. Other notables from the AL Central, White Sox lost in Seattle 5-4. Cleveland beats Detroit 3-2 in extras. The Guardians are white hot, 29-22. They've won 8 of their last 9 games. Kansas City, the opposite of that, they are cooling off. 4-3 loss to Boston yesterday. The Royals are 20-30. And the Chicago Cubs also are up against it. They lose to rival Milwaukee again yesterday at Wrigley 5-0. Brew Crew 29-18. They take over the top spot of the division. Chicago 29-21. Cubs have lost 4 straight and 9 of their last 11 games. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, just about underway from Detroit. Guardians at Tigers 12-10. Pirates at Cardinals 12-15. Rockies and the D-backs is an 8:40 start time from Arizona. Over to the NFL news of the day. Rashee Rice in all sorts of trouble. He is in jail for the next 28 days, a 30-day sentence for violation of his probation. Mike Tannenbaum, how this whole situation may have been received from the Chiefs front office.
You want to know why GMs put on weight and lose hair? I mean, my gosh, here's a player that has all the ability in the world. You know, they stood by him in thick and thin, and look, he had a bump in the road. It's not the end of the world, but coming off of, you know, a reported knee scope, you want him to have the best rehab possible so he's ready to go for, you know, September. You just got to hang in there, try to educate him on trying to make good decisions. You know, what he just did isn't the end of the world by any stretch, but Rashee, we want to put you in the best position to be successful. 30 days in jail doesn't help you and certainly doesn't help us. And
that's Mike Tannenbaum on Rashee Rice and the legal situation continuing. He'll be in jail again. 30-day sentence began just a couple of days ago. The Cleveland Browns quarterback situation. Avert your eyes, avert your ears, avert your noses. Here's Todd Monken on the latest there.
Deshaun's athleticism shows up. Obviously, he's had that, but he's had his injuries that have set him back. So, but that's been, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it's exciting to see. It's a weapon for him. It's one of his superpowers, his athleticism. And I think Shadur's come miles in terms of his progressions, getting the ball out, his understanding of concepts. I think he's really, really come a long way.
And that is Cleveland Browns head coach Todd Monken. Sounds like he's been screaming at his quarterbacks in that clip. Other news to get to, Mike Wilbon talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. He agrees with me yesterday. He's not buying into Cincy this year.
I don't know that I'm listening to Joe Burrow proclaim how great they are as, oh, I'm going to put them above Buffalo in the AFC?
Yeah.
No. Am I going to put them above Baltimore in their own division? No. Above New England? No. I don't know that I'm going to have him above the Chargers. So there's a long way to go in this proclamation. Sounds nice. It reminds me of, I'm going to go historical for a second. It reminds me of Dan Marino, who had some great seasons, and there was a lot of talent, and he got there once. Joe Burrow's been once. Like, Ken Anderson in Cincinnati went once. Like, right. Boomer Esiason in Cincinnati went once. There's no sort of history of the Bengals being so loaded that we're going to make them prohibitive favorites, even in their own division. Don't see it.
That's Mike Wilbon of ESPN not buying into the Cincinnati Bengals. You look in the AFC, these are the peers or teams that are better than Cincinnati. Notice I said peers or teams that are better than. You got Kansas City, you got New England, you got Jacksonville, you got the Chargers. You also have, don't want to say they're a peer, they're close, Pittsburgh. Baltimore's better than Cincinnati today. Houston, comparable or better. Denver, comparable or better. Indy, comparable or better. And Buffalo, better than the Bengals. I rest my case in the AFC for now. Over to college football. Anytime Josh Pate is talking about the college game, you gotta listen. Here's Pate on the 2014 college football playoff that has been pitched this week and feels like a matter of time.
One of the worst ideas I've heard. If you go back to when we had four and you would have polled the college football fans, the college football public, there would have been super majority support to expand. Most people wanted expansion back then. Even now with the general public, this is one of the most unpopular movements or proposals that we've seen in a long time. And look, it's not just Tony Petitti. Okay, the ACC has caved and they're on board with this. The Big 12 has caved. The coaches are calling for it. One of the bigger shockers of all this, building a giant safety net under you contractually. But I ask this, if I were to just sit these people down at that table and I would have said, what makes college football great to you guys? Do you know how many blank stares you would get on your face? Do you know how much shuffling and how much nervous body language there would be to try and contrive a football-based answer? Because they don't know. To them, it's an ATM. To them, it's, well, we can screw up all we want to, and we'll just bail ourselves out by expanding the play. It's federal government level stuff is what it really is. From people who run college football, what makes college football great is, of course, the regular season.
And that regular season will take on a diminished meaning. It's still going to be the college game. My question here is, because I'm a little bit pessimistic, I think this is going to happen. That's how I reframe it in my mind. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, and I need to tell you how bad it is in order for it not to get on the table. I think that money talks, and I think that college football, just like college basketball, is going to get bigger and more robust and more eyes and more ears. And I think that the game and college sports in general has all sorts of hurdles these days. But pessimistically, I think this is going to happen. That's why earlier this week, and I'll tell you again right now on this airwaves, that the execution matters more than the eventuality. It's going to go 24 teams. The execution of it, the big kids, the Big Ten and the SEC carving out guaranteed spots, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 spots per big conference in this thing, could be a disaster. I think you go year by year, and I don't mind these big schools, big conferences, including the Big 12, and including, of course, the ACC. I don't mind them having floors, 2 ACC teams every year, 2 Big 12 teams, 4 from the Big 10, 4 from the Big 12, or 4 from the SEC. That's fine. That feels fair. When we're talking about 8 or 10 guaranteed bids and a guaranteed bid for Notre Dame, if they're in the top 24, if they're in the top 50, if they win a ball game, they're in. I feel like a lot of that is getting drawn up in the sandbox right now. And I think the execution more important than the eventuality of the college football playoff. A reminder, making our way through the scorecard, D1 softball tournament continues down south in Lincoln for the Lincoln Super Regional tonight for Nebraska, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. They battle Oklahoma State Friday at 4 o'clock on ESPN2, Saturday 4 o'clock ESPN if necessary. D2 baseball, the game has been moved up. Augustana underway. A noon start time against Central Missouri right now. GoAuggie.com/live. Get you a score update in a moment there. Game 2 will be Friday at 5, Saturday at 1 if necessary. Those times for now remain unchanged. And then Summit League Baseball, a massive upset as the Jackrabbit baseball team beat top-seeded Oral Roberts yesterday 7-3. Jacks are not done. Golden Eagles not done either in the double elimination tournament. And Northern Colorado beat Omaha yesterday 5-3. So today's schedule in Minneapolis, you got Omaha and ORU in an elimination game at noon. Jackrabbits facing off with the UNC Northern Colorado Bears 6 o'clock this evening time from Minneapolis Summit League, thesummitleague.org for the latest. And now for the aforementioned news you most certainly can't believe today from Sioux Falls in intersection with the city of Minneapolis and the University of Minnesota. This news, as of about an hour ago, the University of Minnesota Director of Athletics Mark Coyle has announced today that longtime Augustana Vikings softball coach Greta Melsted has been named the head softball coach for the Gophers. Crazy stuff. The University of Melsted have agreed to a 5-year contract. She comes to Minnesota after 20 years as the coach at Augie, where she built one of the top D2 programs in the country, guided the Vikings to 14 NCAA tournaments, the 2019 NCAA D2 national title, and 5 consecutive NSIC regular season titles, and most recently helped the Vikings win a 2026 NSIC tournament with a roster very much in transition with all sorts of injury. Greta Melsted, unbelievable coach, great person, friend of the show. Wish her all the best. But man, what a move over to Minnesota as the Gophers come calling again for a premier coach from their neighboring state right here in South Dakota. Dawn Plitzewite, head coach out there in women's basketball, has that program chugging along, looking great. And now coach Greta Melsted making the jump to the Gopher softball program, leaving a big hole and a lot of questions here in Sioux Falls regarding Augustana. What is next there for Aggie softball? That's important. But also wish Coach Melsted nothing but the best. We know that she'll crush it out there guiding the Gopher softball program after 20 years. End of an era. End of a dominant era and beginning of something cool, I'm sure, for Augustana softball. But Coach Greta Melsted joining the Gopher softball program as of this morning. And that's not the only opening, of course. We told you earlier this week that Coach Robert Wagner down at USD reportedly stepping down. Will remain to be seen if Coach Shannon Pivovar will take over as the head coach down in Vermilion. We will wait and see. Keep you updated on these pair of notable softball openings right here in our neck of the woods. Into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. The streak is over, heading into Wednesday's opening game of the Summit League Baseball Championship. SDSU baseball had never beaten Oral Roberts in a postseason game, but behind 7 1/3 strong innings from Sam Schlecht yesterday and timely hitting, Jackrabbits came away with a stunner 7-3 upset over the top-seeded Golden Eagles in Minneapolis. With the win, the Jackrabbits 22-30, and they'll face Northern Colorado at 6 o'clock this evening. Thursday, with the winner advancing to Saturday's championship, ORU fell to 32-23 and will play Omaha in an elimination game that is underway right now. Congratulations to the Jackrabbit baseball team and their fans. More work to do, but a massive postseason win to start it out yesterday in Minneapolis. Speaking of Aggie softball, phenomenal freshman Sioux Falls native Kiara Lubovich has been named an NFCA D2 Freshman of the Year finalist nationally, selected by the association's Division II All-America Committee. This announcement made just yesterday. The freshman slugger led the Vikings with a .436 batting average. The 181 at-bats, Lubovich totaled 79 hits, 18 doubles, 12 homers, and 63 RBI, while scoring 51 runs over 59 starts. Job well done to the Sioux Falls native, Aggie softball star, Kiara Lubovich, a finalist for Freshman of the Year nationally. And lastly, from Augustana, the Viking acrobatics and tumbling team has found its next head coach. Assistant coach Sophia Gardner has been elevated and selected to lead the program as the second head coach in Augustana Viking history. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, things are squawking at the Birdcage. The Sioux Falls Canaries are back, and they got a lot of home games, including one coming up tonight against the Dockhounds of Lake Country. We talk Canaries baseball. General Manager Dual Higbee joins us next on this Thursday edition of Overtime.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Thursday edition of Overtime. It's baseball season. That's well noted. The D2 Super Regional round underway for the Augustana Vikings, and the Sioux Falls Canaries season underway as well. They're out to a great start, 5-1 the record. Joined now on the ESPN hotline by a longtime friend of the show, General Manager, the Sioux Falls Canaries, Dual Higbee. Dual, welcome in, my friend. How you doing?
Bert, I am doing well. The birds are playing good. The sun's shining today, so it's you can't get much better than that.
Hey, certainly it's baseball weather. I said heading into the break that the birdcage is squawking out there in North Central Sioux Falls. Duel, let's talk about the season off and running. How special is this time of year for you and everybody with the Canaries?
You know, it's so much work leading up to the season that once we finally get some action here at the ballpark, it's like, you can kind of sit back and relax a little bit and take in all the hard work. And then, you know, when the guys on the field are playing well, it just makes it that much sweeter. So, you know, weather's warming up. It's been a couple chilly nights here, but, you know, the bats have been hot. So that's cool to see.
Speaking of those hot bats, Duel, I need a favor from you, man. I need you to go over to Jabari Henry after we get off the phone and say, hey, Bert wants you to stop making all us 35 and older folks look so darn bad. How is that guy able to do what he is doing at this stage? He had a massive game yesterday. Jabari Henry, an ageless wonder at 35 years old.
He is. Is he 35? I think he's 30. No, you're right. He's 35 because he's a year younger than me, believe it or not, which is crazy. I give him a hard time every day. Like you said, it's like, dude, you're making us all look bad. I can hardly get off the floor with my kids. And you're out there just, you know, swatting grand slams, driving in six. And he did get thrown out trying to leg out a double yesterday at second. So he is mortal after all. But, man, those hands, just they're as fast as ever. And his approach to the plate, he doesn't swing at balls. His at bats are just unbelievable. So we are so lucky to have him in a Canaries uniform. Obviously, I think he's in year nine. You know, obviously when he started, we had some tough years, but he's stuck with us. We've treated these guys well, and he's been a big reason why we've been able to recruit and bring talent into Sioux Falls on an annual basis.
And certainly it was a very nice year last year for the Canaries. Deep postseason run. 5-1 start here in 2026. Duel, give me some personal highlights here. What are you liking from the team so far out there on the diamond?
Well, I like that we're finding ways to win. For the first series of the year down in Lincoln, we won 3 one-run ball games. And honestly, we haven't played all that well. You know, I think we're just kind of gritty. You know, we have a lot of new guys on the roster this year, but our core guys are still there, and they are just, they're experienced. They just know what they're doing, and we know how to win those tough, tight ball games now. You know, last night we put up 10 runs. I think it was 10 runs, maybe 12. But we found a lot of barrels last night too. So that's the first game that it actually kind of clicked. So it's been fun to see all the new faces. Obviously, the Jabaris, the Mike Harts, the Trevor Achenbaughs, you know, back again and doing their thing. But to you know, see these new guys kind of mesh and just act like they've been here for 2 or 3 years has been a lot of fun to see.
Duel Higby is our guest. He's the general manager of the Sioux Falls Canaries. Canaries will be in town tonight and over the weekend, finishing up a series with Lake Country and then hosting the Chicago Dogs coming up this weekend. Duel, let's talk about the new faces in that roster. Of course, you highlighted the big names, the Mike Hart, Jabari Henry. By season's end, give me a couple additional players, youngsters, maybe new faces, maybe guys in year two or three that fans will know pretty darn well. Give me a forecast of the names to know that it might be newer on the roster this year.
Yeah, some newer guys. I'm going to leave some out because there's just so many. But some key pieces in the lineup. Anthony Hall, an Oregon kid, University of Oregon, I should say. High A last year with the Yankees, a high round draft pick. Made a diving play last year. Just has professional on bats from the left side. Michael Curiali, he was in the Cubs system last year. Can kind of play everywhere in the infield. Just a really, really good ball player. Quitzer, another dude that, I mean, it's like Pete Rose out there. He's just a gamer. He's sliding all over the field and just diving, giving 110%. Just a fun guy to watch play. And then on the arm side, obviously, Hasey's back, Dorminey's back. But Christian Edwards, he's mid to upper 90s as a starter. He's a lot of fun to see. Bauer yesterday got the save, a kid out of Central Florida. Really, really good stuff. So it's, you know, there's just – like I said before, we got a lot of key pieces coming back. You know, the Mike Harts, the Josh Raywalds, how can we forget him? University of Sioux Falls product hitting balls 460-plus feet on the regular basis. But it's just been cool to see everybody kind of mesh together. Like, you know, we got such a good clubhouse. You know, kudos to Barry and Mike. Mike Hart and Mike Meyer, our manager, for just making guys feel like they, you know, they've been here forever and can just be their true selves. You know, it's funny when you get all these guys from Affiliated Ball coming in and they get, you know, kind of micromanaged, if you will, you know, from a coaching standpoint, where, you know, they can sometimes struggle because it takes them away from who they are. And then they get here, they're loose, they're relaxed, they can just kind of find themselves again. So I personally love seeing that.
Talking Sioux Falls Canaries baseball, General Manager Dual Higby, our guest here on a Thursday edition of Overtime. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Three home games are in the bag for the Canaries so far. They got a fourth one tonight against Lake Country, 6:35 the start time, and then tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, three-game set against the Chicago Dogs. So certainly a lot of opportunities this year to get out to the Birdcage. Duel, what might be new, what might be different, what's tried and true, and back for another year as far as promotions, tickets, opportunities, flex packs. Give me the spiel here on how it's pretty darn easy and a ton of fun to get out to the Birdcage this summer.
Well, it really is. You touched on it. We do have a lot of new this year. We got a new club room up in our suite level, all new furnishings, all new cabinetry. Thanks, Bullseye. But that's kind of an all-inclusive ticket. You can buy a season ticket up there. You can get it on the daily basis. But I mean, what's better than all you can eat, all you can drink kind of buffet options up there in a climate-controlled environment? It's sweet. If you were out last night, you saw our brand new LED lighting. They were doing some flashing. You know, you see it on the big leagues all the time. Guy hits a home run, they're around the bases, the lights are going crazy. You know, and then once we finally won the game, the lights were going nuts. We had some colored lighting flashing up. So that is a really, really cool experience. If you have not been out to check that out, it's a can't miss. You got to come see that. From a promotion side, you know, this weekend we have Quick Start sponsoring. We got some stocking cap giveaways, which are really nice quality hats. First 500, so you better be early, or else you're going to miss it on Friday night. Obviously, Friday night fireworks are back; they are super, super popular. But Saturday, a fun promotion I am actually pretty excited about. It's called Kids Market. So if you don't know what that is, it's basically a farmer's market ran entirely by kids. Ooh. So they make their jewelry, their little baked products, and they're going to sell it out here. So if you're looking for something fun to do on Saturday, it looks absolutely gorgeous. Come on out, check that out. Support those little kiddos as they're trying to, you know, get a little business off the ground. So that should be really fun. The rest of the summer, we got things up and down that are going to be canvases. Four different bobblehead giveaways. I'm not going to spoil them because we've done a lot of them. These are my favorite ones this year. So if you're a bobblehead guy like I am, you can't miss those. We got, it's a Midwest thing night, so we're bringing back our cutoff flannels, jerseys. Geez, I'm missing so many. Area 51 night, Union night with some sweet jerseys. You got to check out our website. There's a whole bunch of promotions you can't miss, along with, I will mention, daily deals every single day, whether it's a ticket package or a food and beverage package. There are really, really reasonable opportunities to get out here if you take advantage of those deals.
Hey, certainly, there's all sorts of highlights. I'm looking at them right now, Duel, and I got one circled for sure because I got kids at home and Pokemon all the rage. Pokemon night circled on my calendar, June the 27th. Also a celebration of number 250 for the good old U.S. of A. That'll be July the 17th. Latest and greatest on those Canaries, sfcanaries.com. That's the general manager, Duel Higby, here on a Thursday. Duel, go get them this weekend, my friend. Give that message to Jabari from me, and we'll talk again real soon on the show.
Hey, I'm leaving a note in his locker telling me you can't keep making us old guys look bad.
Hey, calm
down.
Actually,
do it. I like it. I like the production. Keep it up.
Oh, absolutely. But I got to tell you, Duel, as well, as we say so long to Duel Higby, he mentioned it. I was going to go there I'm definitely a dad of young kids right now. I get sore from wrestling the kiddos and Jabari Henry out here driving in 6 runs on a Wednesday night win. Impressive stuff for the 35-year-old star of the Sioux Falls Canaries, sfcanaries.com. They got a ticket package, single game tickets, promotions, and everything to fit your needs over the summer, sfcanaries.com. When we come back, it is your big news dump time out of the NBA, the NHL, and of course the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, this is it, as in this is my last dance. Where does Rodgers rank all time now? And if the unthinkable happens, deep playoff run, Super Bowl win, what's his ceiling in his final year for the Pittsburgh Steelers? That and more up to debate next. Also, the good, the bad, and the ugly, with a few stories, as always, that you can't afford to miss. That's next on a Thursday edition of Overtime.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a action-packed, fun-filled Thursday edition of Overtime. If you missed it in hour number one, we chatted all things Minnesota Vikings with Dustin Baker of VikingsTerritory.com. And just moments ago, we hung up with Sioux Falls Canaries general manager Dual Higbee talking about a 5-1 start for the Birds this year as they make their way back to the Birdcage tonight, 6:35, for the final game of the set against Lake Country. And then they'll open up a 3-game set Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Chicago Dogs. Plenty of opportunities to get out to the Birdcage. Check them out, sfcanaries.com. NHL news first, NBA to follow, NFL and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right now in a whirlwind, final 15 minutes of the show. Let's start in the NHL. Invigorated after transforming the Buffalo Sabres into contenders in his second coaching stint in Buffalo, Lindy Ruff sees no reason why he'd stop now. With the full backing of team management and his wife's blessing, the 66-year-old Ruff is staying put after signing a new 2-year contract extension yesterday. Ruff's only regret, according to ESPN.com, was addressing reporters during a season-ending news conference rather than preparing for the Eastern Conference Finals. Buffalo was eliminated Monday, 3-2 overtime loss to Montreal in Game 7. Ruff saying, it's great to be here in a sense that I'm going to continue, and I'm humbled by the opportunity, the energy our fans brought, the energy in the city, where we got to go in the second half of this year, excited me. I can tell you, I was proud of the way the players handled it as a group and has never been there before. Ruff completing his second and final season of the contract he signed upon returning to Buffalo, where he spent 10 years as a player and has since gone on to become the franchise's winningest coach. 2-year extension on the deal of Lindy Ruff in Buffalo. Well, last night, a surprise. Colorado Avalanche at some time during the year, at the majority of the season, appeared to be a runaway freight train. This postseason so far, that has also been echoed. They dropped one game to the Minnesota Wild last series, and they start out this series in a hole. 4-2, the loss last night in Game 1. No team immune to losing the first game of a series, but the Avs and Knights have come close. The Golden Knights 4-2 win over the Avs in Game 1 marked the 8th time they have grabbed the series opening win in their past 9 playoff matchups. It's a run that began back in 2023 when Vegas opened their second round series against the Oilers. Edmonton then interrupted what was a 5-game winning streak in Game 1s last year. Vegas opened this season's playoffs with a Game 1 win over Utah and Anaheim before handing Colorado a stunning just second loss of the postseason and first at home. The Knights, a nice win last night in Game 1, 4-2, the final. Well, the Minnesota Timberwolves are looking to make a leap. The journey, the map, the destination is kind of hard to find at this stage. And Tim Connelly did comment about the franchise's future just yesterday. The message from the championship tier, the NBA has been delivered clearly and forcefully with their elimination from the playoffs 3 straight times. You're not there yet. Nobody listening more carefully than Tim Connelly. We have a lot of confidence in our guys, but it would be disingenuous to sit in front of this group and say we're happy with the 6th seed. We're happy with not being a home court playoff team. We're happy that our last 3 closeout games have been lopsided. Timberwolves president of basketball operations said as much earlier this week during a season-ending news conference, saying, "We have to be realistic about what we have, which is way more good than bad, but we know that we're not good enough right now." San Antonio Spurs ousted the T-Wolves last week, taking the second-round series with a 30-point win. And last year, OKC beat the T-Wolves in five games in the Western Conference Finals on the way to an NBA title, finishing that series also with a 30-point win. T-Wolves were beaten in five games in the Western Conference Finals in 2024 to the Mavericks, when they still had Luka Doncic, and they lost that game, that clinching game, by 21 points that year. So that is a pattern you don't love. It was excusable a couple of years ago to Luka Doncic and the Mavericks, although that matchup looked pretty darn winnable for Minnesota when it came out. They lose that one. OKC last year, excusable. This year, Spurs on the rise, excusable, but frustrating. Banging your head against the wall, expecting that next leap. We got Anthony Edwards. We got all these role players. We reformed the roster. We added Rudy Gobert. We traded away Karl Anthony Towns. We got Randall. We got Dante. We got Ayo Dosunmu. But where are you going now that you are passed by the Spurs? You're passed by the Thunder. There are teams like the aforementioned Dallas Mavericks that are making their way up to nip at your heels before too long. Maybe not next year, but in 2 years, you would imagine the forecast for Dallas will be pretty darn nice. There's other teams in the West that are worth mentioning, and maybe they move to the East and it's easier out there marginally. But you want the Timberwolves to see some growth, and good news, President of Basketball Operations Tim Connelly very aware and frustrated of that head bumping in the postseason. Spurs rookie guard Dylan Harper suffered a right hamstring injury in the third quarter of last night's loss to the Thunder in Game 2, delivering yet another blow to San Antonio's depleted backcourt. Harper's latest injury occurred after veteran guard De'Aaron Fox missed his second consecutive game because of a right high ankle sprain suffered in Game 4 of the Western Conference Semis. Harper has been filling in for Fox in the starting lineup, and now you got two players, two notables, out possibly for the foreseeable future for San Antonio. That would lend itself to say Spurs might be up against it before too long against OKC. Last night, a steady Eddie performance, weathering the storm, got back tied, got back thin a few times, Thunder in control of the second half of that game. Spurs had their rallies, had their moments, but the Thunder punched back every single time. The big news in the NFL yesterday is that Aaron Rodgers said that this coming season will be the last of his career. Yes, this is it. Rodgers said when asked if this would be his final NFL season, and most people, yours truly included, believed him. I don't think this is going to be a song and dance for Rodgers. It feels like he's pretty darn definitive. He's been tactful, thoughtful in his future, and now signs on with the Steelers and is willing to stay before the season even gets going. This isn't in the middle of getting beaten and battered or in the middle of a nice run, whatever it might be this year for Aaron Rodgers. This is preseason. Before the preseason, pre the preseason, yes, this is it for Aaron Rodgers. He enters year number 22, an NFL season ranked at least in the top seven in most major quarterback categories, fifth in all-time career passing yards, fourth in touchdowns, sixth in wins, fifth in starts, seventh in completions, sixth in attempts. Rodgers is among the greatest to ever play. Now, the absurdly unlikely scenario, I don't think the Steelers win a playoff game this year. I think they get there. They could get there. About the same forecast as last year. Get there, might have a favorable matchup, could maybe win one playoff game. That's where I have the Steelers right now. I think most people would agree or be lower, wouldn't say significantly lower, but lower on Pittsburgh, 8-9 wins right around playoff territory. Rodgers, if the unthinkable happens and he wins a ring with Pittsburgh and it's the last dance and he goes out on the top like a Peyton Manning, you would think he'll solidify into a firm top five QB all time. Right now, I have no problem with admitting I'm more bullish than most on Rodgers. I would say Rodgers is the best or second best thrower of the football in league history. Does that mean he's the greatest of all time? No. Tom Brady's got the resume, got the stats, got the head-to-head win in the NFC title game in 2020 because they had very few playoff bouts. They had that only one. And they met in the regular season, but who really cares? Who really looks back at that regular season matchups? You talk about big spot, playoff, Super Bowl matchups. Brady's got the edge. Brady's the greatest of all time for now. That could change. You never know. But Brady's up there. Also ahead of Aaron Rodgers, you would lump Joe Montana. You could argue, make an argument for guys that are active like Pat Mahomes. Resume right now, three rings. an MVP and maybe a few more on the way. Mahomes is in the conversation. I have Rodgers right around 5, 6, or 7 all time right now with some upward mobility. We'll wait and see. But if the best thing possible happens for him, wins a Super Bowl this year, not likely. You would think he would solidify top five. That is certainly up for debate. This is an easy candidate for the good, the bad, the ugly, but it's football news. But it's reckless driving news. Eagles linebacker Nolan Smith Jr. arrested and accused of speeding and reckless driving in Georgia. The Twiggs County Sheriff's Office told ESPN just yesterday, according to notes taken by a member of the Sheriff's Office that night, Smith was clocked going 135 miles an hour in a 70-mile-per-hour zone on the interstate at 10:40 at night. Smith made bond and was released about an hour after he was booked. A court date for the case is set for July 14th. Smith would not need to appear if he pays the fines associated with the citations. The 25-year-old selected by the Eagles in the first round back in 2023. And in case you're wondering, because we hammer it home on this show, in regards to one particular university down in the South in the SEC whose fans bark at people that has a massive issue with speeding, with driving, obeying the law while driving and speeding and getting into all sorts of trouble and endangering the lives of others and livelihoods of others. Nolan Smith Jr. also went to the University of Georgia. Really bad news for the Eagles, for Georgia, as that continues this week. Other news to get to out of the NFL. Will Howard's chances of starting games at quarterback took a significant hit when Aaron Rodgers signed on, but Howard's happy he's back. None of us really knew. I think everyone had a little feeling, and I had a feeling it was probably going to come back, just knowing the competitor and the person that he is. But I was excited. I really was, because we really developed a special friendship. I felt like last year, to be able to have another year with him and learn from him, to continue to pour into Drew Aller and me, it's an unbelievable opportunity for me as a young player in this league to learn from one of the legends that has been doing it for a long time. Very positive approach, and he's not wrong. Will Howard might need some more incubation time. So does Drew Aller. They're tearing him down to the studs for a report last week. Pro Football Talk on the news. Will Howard fired up that Aaron Rodgers is back in the fold. And lastly, competitive eating. One of the headlines in the latest and greatest edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly right now on Overtime.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Nobody beats the price on a brand new grill better than Lewis Drug right now. Lewis Lawn and Garden is your grilling needs covered. A Charbroil 5-burner grill this week at your local Lewis is just $249.97, usually up around $500. You can save big. Charbroil 5-burner grill on sale now at your local Lewis Drug. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the good news first is a big old Go Tigers from Coach O at LSU. The Louisiana State University Tiger football program has finalized a deal to add Coach Orgeron to their football coaching staff. Orgeron is the former head coach at LSU, which led the team to a 2019 national title, reunites with head coach Lane Kiffin, Orgeron's longtime friend and colleague, with whom he previously worked with at USC and Tennessee. They last collaborated at USC in 2013. Orgeron's role officially will be special assistant to recruiting and defense for the Tigers. This is a massive win. You talk about statement figures in a program. This is like having Lou Holtz post-retirement on staff at Notre Dame. This is like having Nick Saban on staff at Alabama to help with recruiting. Hey, check out these rings. Coach O, a staple, an icon in college football. Love him, hate him, despise him, or otherwise. He is a big get for LSU as a special assistant to recruiting and defense for the Tigers. For Coach O, other news to get to, competitive eater. Joey Chestnut, the reigning champion and 17-time winner of the Nathan's Famous International Hot Dog Eating Contest, will compete in the July 4th spectacle while on probation after he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor battery charge. Chestnut was accused of slapping a man in the face during a night out at an Indiana bar. His attorney, Mario Massalamani, said he entered a guilty plea back in late April, sentenced to 180 days of probation in Hamilton County, Indiana. When police questioned Chestnut that later on, he said he was drunk and did not remember the altercation. The attorney said that it was, quote, taken out of context, but regardless, Jaws is back. Joey Chestnut chowing down 4th of July despite being on probation this time around. Other good news, Ahmad Hardy back in Missouri just over a week after the All-American running back was shot in his home state of Mississippi. Mizzou's football program released a 14-second video yesterday in which Hardy said he was, quote, starting the road to my rehab. Went on to say, I want to thank everybody for all the support and all of y'all's prayers. Thanks everybody for everything. I'm back to the road to success. And lastly here, the ugly news. This is up for debate, but I know you Husker fans might be a little upset, might be a little nervous, apprehensive, or just darn ticked off about the state of the football program. Well, a little tone deaf here, I think. Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon told ESPN yesterday that rebuilding one of the nation's most storied football programs hasn't happened as quickly as everyone had hoped, but he wanted to give Coach Matt Rhule a little more time to get it right. Dannon gave Rhule a 2-year contract extension last October when Rhule was reported to be a candidate for the head coaching job at Penn State. Dannon said he made the decision because, quote, it's moving in the right direction. For the first time since 2016, the Huskers finished with a winning record during the regular season of 7-5, but it's hard to say here. Opinion, of course, for you Husker fans. I'm not much of a Husker hater these days, as much as I'm somebody that's looking up at the program because my Badgers have completely and totally been in the ditch lately. Hopefully they're on the up and up. But the Huskers have gotten back on the map incrementally. They're back in the bowl games, back winning the games they should. The issue is they're not winning the games that they shouldn't win. They're not winning against ranked opponents. So my question, the reason I logged this, categorized it into the ugly category, is what's taken so long? Where do we go from here? Why did our quarterback transfer out? And how soon can we start getting back into double-digit wins? CFP sniffing. We'll see about Nebraska. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by your local Lewis Drug. That's our show. Stay tuned tomorrow on the Friday edition. We're talking Broncos and so much more. Keep it locked and loaded. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.